Good, good. Well, I actually preached this message on Friday night at Camp Evangeline. So I'm practiced up, fired up. But I really felt that it applied to us here today as well. And so I hope that you are ready in the remaining time that we have to just open your heart and life to the Word of God. Missio Dei is, how many are practiced up on your Latin? Nobody. It's a Latin phrase that theologians use to talk about the mission of God. The mission of God. The big picture mission of God. God is a missionary God. God has been on a mission from day one, from the beginning of creation. God has been on a mission. And His mission has been to bring His goodness and glory, to bring the beauty and creativity, the shalom peace of the heavenly realm to the chaos and wilderness of this world. That we would be this world would be transformed by the goodness and the glory of God, and that the earth would be filled. Bible says this in more than one place, the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Even before the fall of the angels, even before the fall of humans, God was on a mission. That's what the Garden of Eden was about. Why would God need a garden if the whole world was a perfect, beautiful garden? Well, it wasn't. God brought about organization and creativity on planet Earth. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters, separated land from water. God created the world, and then He put in the middle of the earth, He put, not the middle of the earth, but He put on the earth a garden. The Bible says He planted a garden, and He planted Adam, put Adam in the garden to tend it and care for it, and said, multiply and bring dominion. What does that mean? It means Adam was intended to expand Eden. Eden was the place where heaven and earth overlapped. And Adam's job as an imager and representative of God was to bring God's goodness and glory to the whole earth. But the ball got dropped, right? Humanity rebelled, and the earth was plunged into chaos and wilderness. Adam and Eve were kicked out of Eden. And so God planned for redemption of humanity and the renewal of creation, and to bring all things into His glory, into His goodness, into His beauty. His plan was to bring heaven and earth together. That's the mission. That's the big picture mission of God. And God came again and again, never giving up on the world. And His ultimate goal, to bring the earth into His domain and all humans into His family. And He carried on His mission, always involving humans. He carried on his mission through Abraham and Moses and Samuel and David and the prophets. And of course, ultimately, he came himself. The greatest mission project in all of history, Yahweh entered to our mess. And from inside of our mess, planned to turn it inside out, to bring his glory and his goodness into the world. We're told in the Bible that the motivation for this project, the motivation for God's mission was love, right? For God so loved the world that he gave, that he came. Not so God so hated the world, or God so was angry at the world, or God so regretted making the world, but God so loved the world that he came, that he gave. And when Jesus came, he was on a mission and would not be deterred. Not by Satan's temptations, not by pressure from religious factions of his day, not by his own family that didn't understand what he was doing. But Luke tells us that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem because he knew that his mission involved the cross, that he needed to go to the cross, that he needed to give his life for the redemption of humanity. And the Bible says, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. What was the joy? It was accomplishing the Father's mission. Right? It was being able at the end of his moment on the cross to be able to say, it is finished. It is finished. But here's the deal. Jesus said of his work on the cross, it is finished. When he rose again, he said to his disciples, now get to work. Right? Because God was involving humans. He was involving us again in his great missio Dei, in his great mission on the earth. What Jesus was sent to do, the atonement was completed. But the mission of God is not completed until the day when all of creation is renewed and made new, that and every human that will respond is redeemed, brought into God's family. We're given an incredible picture of this. At the end of the book, in Revelation 21 and 22, where it talks about John says in 21 verse 1, he says, and I, John, saw New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And he says the dwelling place of God was with humans. Folks, that's the mission. That's the goal. That's the moment when all of it is accomplished. The dwelling place of God is with humans, with us. He wipes away every tear. No more death, no more sorrow, no more sighing, no more sickness. And the dwelling place of God is with humans. The mission, church, the mission is why we're here. Missio Dei is central to what God is doing on the earth. I am sure that every person here who knows Jesus as Savior, you are glad that at one point in your past, the mission made it to you. Amen? The work of God caught up with your life. God came looking for you. You found yourself, I don't know, somewhere at the right place, at the right time, at the right moment, and somebody talked to you about Jesus. And something in your heart came alive, and you said, yes, I need that. You ever wonder why he picked you? Right? Out of all the people around you, all of all the people in the place where you lived, why you? Why did he put his finger on you and said, I want this one? We are not brought into God's kingdom to just put our lives on autopilot, on cruise, and wait till Jesus comes. Amen? When Jesus ascended to the Father, Luke tells us in Acts 1 verse 10 that the disciples stood there. It says, they stood there looking intently up into the sky as he was going. And as they're gazing into the sky, it says, I just love this. It's all of a sudden there were two men in white standing beside them. Two angels show up and say, men of Galilee, why are you staring into the sky? Son of man that you just saw taken from you will come in the same way. Go get at it, boys. Right? Don't stare into the sky. There's some things to do. And sometimes I think when we spend our time arguing and debating about when is Jesus coming back, when is he going to return, debating about the fine points of end times theology or who is the Antichrist or who isn't the Antichrist, I feel those two angels are shaking their head wondering why we're still staring into the sky and we're not doing the work that Jesus has called us to do. You know, the whole worldwide enterprise that we call the Church of Jesus Christ was formed for the sake of the mission. Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of Hades would not prevail against it. That means the church is meant to be an advancing force in this world that will beat down the gates of Hades. Right? It doesn't mean what Jesus wasn't saying is the church is going to be off in a corner huddled somewhere and the gates are going to come flapping at them and they will, you know, they'll make it. They'll be okay at the end. The gates don't attack, gates defend. We're not meant to be on the defense, we're meant to be on the offense. Taking back territory that the enemy is squatting on and is not his. Advancing the mission of God. That is our job, right? And if we're not doing that, church, we have lost our way. We don't exist because Jesus, you know, just thought one day, Father, you know what this world needs? Is a book club where people sit around and talk about our book all day long. Bible study is important and vital and necessary, but it's not an end in itself, folks. Our goal is not to come together on Sundays and read the Bible and then go back to our lives as they were. But it's to come and get equipped for the mission and then go out and do it. Right? Jesus didn't convince his father of a book club, but what he did say is all authority in heaven and on earth, all authority has been given to me, therefore go. Right? Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is with his church. He will empower us. He will strengthen us. He will help us do it. But our job is not to huddle away from the world, but to go change it. Amen? We call this the great commission. Because Jesus calls us to come mission with him for the Father. There's a missiologist. It's just is a big fancy word meaning somebody who spends a lot of time thinking, doing the mission, but also thinking about how we do the mission. There's a missiologist named Christopher Wright that I think said one of the most profound things in the last couple decades about our job as the church. He said this. He said, it's not so much that God has a mission for his church, but that God has a church for his mission. It's not like God said, oh, I'm so glad there's an evangel Pentecostal church in Bathurst. It's just amazing. And oh, by the way, do you guys mind doing a few things for me while you're, you know? No. It's that in the heart of God, he said, Bathurst needs to be reached for the kingdom of God. And 97 years ago, in the fall of 1929, he dropped some people in Bathurst that became Evangel Pentecostal Church and said, I need a church for my mission in Bathurst. We don't exist to keep existing. We don't exist because isn't this a nice club we've got? We exist for the sake of the mission. It's why we do a VBS. It's why we turn our building upside down and we gather some people and we you know, do all the stuff that we do. We go without sleep and we get overrun by kids. Not because we don't have anything better to do for a week in July, but because there are children and families in our region who need to know that Jesus loves them. Right? We are on mission, folks. If a church has lost its sense of mission, it is probably only a few years away from closing its doors. It has a choice to either rediscover its sense of mission or get out of the way so that God can raise up some people who are ready to do the mission that he has for them. Right? But here's the kicker. The church is you. Right? I mean, it's easy to throw shade on the church. It's a popular thing to, you know, gathering of people here in our city or wherever you come from, that God has brought together for mission to do His work. Do you know why God picked you? Why He put His finger on you? You're not just saved to wait out the storm and escape in the rapture, but you were brought into the family of God and entrusted with the Missio Dei, the mission of God. God wanted you because you bring something to the mission that no one else does. He chose you because He wanted you on His team. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece." This is New Living Translation. "For we are God's masterpiece." Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are a masterpiece." Right? The Greek word here is poiema. Poiema. We get our English word poem from that. You are God's poiema. You are God's creative expression of love to the world. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. See, God didn't just come up with an idea this morning of some things that He wants you to do. But before you were created, He had some things that He wanted you to accomplish in this world. And He made you just the way He wanted you. Folks, you were made with intention. You were saved and plucked out for intention by intention. You are being transformed by intention. You are called by God by intention. You are empowered by His Spirit by intention, because there are things that God has for you to do. There, you have a mission. You ever think about that? Do you live with that awareness? You get up in the morning saying, "God, what is Your mission for me today? What are the parameters of my mission today, God?" You know, that will make you live differently. That will make you pray differently. That will make you walk through your day differently. It will make you talk to the person checking you out at Walmart differently. If you remember that you are on a mission. Second Corinthians 5. I love this passage. In verse 14 it says, "For Christ's love compels us." What drives you today? What motivates you? What gets you up in the morning? What causes you to do the things that you do? Paul says, "For Christ's love compels us." He goes on to say in the same verse, he says, "Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." What does that mean? Believe what it means is that through Jesus, God has accomplished everything from his side that needs to be accomplished for every person to come into his kingdom. A couple verses later in verse 18, in the same passage, 2 Corinthians 5, it says this, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on God's behalf, Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Wow. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting their sins against them. Again, everything from God's side has been accomplished. That every person, whosoever will, can come. Whoever will say yes to him. It's like everyone you see every day around you who doesn't yet know Christ as Savior, every one of them is sitting in a cell with the door open and they don't know it. The door's been opened by Jesus. The way has been made. They just need to walk through it and say yes to God, to be reconciled to God. And God has given us a mission, a ministry of reconciliation, of being partners with him and bringing the hope of Christ to the world. Pastor, it's a beautiful summery day, and I just want to enjoy the summer. Why are you bugging me with all of this heavy stuff? Folks, if you're on the treadmill of religion, serving is just another chore, just another burden. When you see the pastor's phone number on your phone ID, whatever they call it, you see my number come up, oh, he's going to ask me to do something. Going to let it go to voicemail. But let me say, if you lock into, folks, please hear me. It's not about twisting people's arms to get to do some programs and projects and stuff that Pastor dreamed up. Folks, if you can lock into the reason you were made, the thing that God made you for, the works that he planned in advance before he even formed you in your mother's womb, if you can lock into those, and if you can be compelled by the love of Christ, and if the mission of God can get a hold of your heart, can captivate your heart, no one will be able to hold you back from doing the things that God has put in your heart to do. Right? I mean, the guy that wrote this stuff, right, Paul? He was just minding his own business one day, throwing people in prison for following Jesus. And God broke into his life with his mission, plucked him out of the world and said, I want this one. And in Acts 9, as Paul is telling the story of what happened to him, God speaks to Ananias after Paul's been he's blinded by the glory of God, and he goes to Damascus. And God speaks to Ananias, one of the leaders of the church of Jesus in Damascus. And he says this, go to this, go. He says, go to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. But when God's mission got a hold of Paul's heart, they tried to beat him and whip him and stone him and beat him again and whip him again and throw him in prison, and he was shipwrecked and he was like all of it, right? And Paul just kept going because the love of Christ compelled him. Last point, the Spirit was given for the mission. As Pentecostals, we love the gift of the Holy Spirit. We love our encounters with Him. We love the moments when we feel His presence. We love when we hear Him speak to us. We love going to church services and conference and special meetings where we can get a refreshing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But folks, the Holy Spirit was not given so that we have exciting church services. The Holy Spirit was not given so you can have warm fuzzies in your prayer time. But He was given to empower us for the mission. Jesus said to His disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." I've got a mission for you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. Baptism of the Spirit is not a badge that we wear to make us feel superior to the church down the street, but it's to empower us and embolden us to share Jesus with people who need to hear the hope of Christ. To be able to say to them, to have the courage and the authority and power to say to them, be reconciled to God. Don't tell me when was the last time you spoke in tongues if you haven't shared Jesus with anyone in the last year. I know that's an ouch, but folks, the Spirit was given for the mission, not for our plaything, not for our enjoyment, for the mission. So I want to remind us today the great privilege that we have been given to join the Father in the Missio Dei, the mission of God. And I want to encourage us even this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I'm going to ask you to stand. Let's stand. I want to encourage you this morning. I know we're in summer mode. I know some of you just are ready to jump in your car and head to the cottage as soon as we're done. You've already got stuff marinating for the barbecue at home. But folks, I want to encourage us to take some moments to lean in, to receive a fresh empowering of the Spirit, not because we want to feel good, but because we know there's a mission and we can't do it on our own. Here's the deal. Jesus said to his disciples, as he was about to ascend to the Father, he said, Luke 24:49. He said, but stay in Jerusalem. Got a job for you. I got work for you. I got a mission for you. But stay in Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power from on high. Because the job he's giving us to do, folks, you cannot argue people into the kingdom. You can't debate them into the kingdom. You can't twist their arm. That's not how it works. We need the power of the Spirit upon our lives so that he can do through us. We're vessels. We're jars of clay. In whom the glory of God is shown. But when it is, everyone will know it's his glory, not ours. Right? We need his power to do the work of the kingdom, to do the mission. So here's three quick things. I want to pray for us, and then I want to just make opportunity for us to come and receive whatever God has for us today. But listen, some of you may need to ask God, what is my unique contribution to the mission? Maybe you still haven't figured that out yet. What is it I bring to the table? God, what is it that you've put inside me? How am I your poema, your masterpiece? What do you have in me that I can bring to offer your kingdom mission? And some of you may need to be filled with the power of the Spirit for the first time in your lives. All of us who have received the power of the Holy Spirit at one point had to hear about it, had to receive it. Right? I've been Christian for a few years before I knew there was even such a thing as being filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and that's you, don't be embarrassed about that, or don't like be freaked out by that. It happened in the Bible too. We don't have time to go there, but it happened in the Bible too. There were people who said, we never heard. Well, you can't say today you haven't heard. And some of you in this room have lost your sense of passion and mission somewhere along the line. You need a renewal of purpose, a renewal of fire in your life for the things that God has called you to do. So let me pray for you. And then if you want to receive, come meet the Lord. It's not about me giving you anything. Jesus wants to give you some things. God, thank you for every person in this room, every person that you have made in a special way for a special purpose. God, you created them. You formed them exactly the way you wanted. You knit together their DNA to be exactly who they are. And you delight in them. You love them. You're glad that you made them as they are, because you made them for a purpose. God, I pray that today they would discover in a fresh way, that you would just speak to them by your Spirit. Put your finger on something in their hearts, in their lives, that they would say, oh, that's it. God, I pray for those who need to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit for the first time in their lives. God, it can be a little bit scary. God, I pray that God, you are a safe place. You are kind. You're a gentleman. You're not going to embarrass anyone. You're not going to shame anyone. You just want to give some amazing gifts so that we can do the work you've called us to do. May we receive it by faith. And God, for those that have had the passion drained out of them for whatever reason, today they need a fresh anointing, a fresh touch of your Spirit. Come and meet us in this place, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you come? If you need to meet with the Lord, don't leave without doing business with Him this morning.